This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cavs back on the floor tonight against the Indiana Pacers, game number two. Let's get some more info on that. And the Browns, too. We turn to Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealers. Jimmy Watkins, also host of the Wine and Gold podcast. And you can always catch that at Cleveland.com as well. Right now, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jimmy, I just want you to know Jeff is suffering from a major paper cut right now, and I have a little indigestion, but we are going to weather the storm because this is a playoff day. So we're one of the two people not injured today, and I just want to check in on your health to make sure you're going to be all right to be able to write about the game tonight. You okay?
I was going to say they just keep piling up, right?
I know.
Yeah, I need to watch where I step the rest of the day. I might just go bubble suit.
You don't want to hurt that great toe, Jimmy.
No, it's your writing finger or your typing fingers. That's what we're concerned about.
Jimmy types with his toes.
Oh, he does. That's
yeah.
Only you folks.
Oh, man.
All right. They're a little banged up going into this game. Thoughts on how injured they are and what that might mean for the contest?
You're betting they play?
I'm not sure about Evan Mobley, and that's the one that concerns me the most. I was not at practice, but I'm seeing Chris Fedor, my guy, report that he did not see at shoot around Garland, Hunter, or Mobley. Now, I don't think that's necessarily telling us a ton because on a playoff game day, guys who are questionable, you're probably getting around the clock treatment. That's probably more important than whatever you're doing at shoot around.
Agreed.
But the vibe, like Evan Mobley limped after the game the other day. Didn't love seeing that. The vibe has not been encouraging. We had an ankle, the ankle injury of the three, like Darius has had more time off. A thumb is kind of, you know, it might limit you, but it's really what you can withstand on that front. The ankle is something that you got to be careful with. So he's the one, just think about what Evan Mobley does 100 times a game. He's jumping for rebounds with a lot of feet under him. You can bet if he does play out there, the Pacers are going to bring him out and test how well he can change directions on that thing. He's the one that concerns me the most. And I just, this is why I don't like the conversations about, well, the Pacers won't shoot as well and the Cavs will eventually start making their shots. It's like, okay, maybe, but this 1-0 deficit, the defensive intensity that the Cavs didn't bring game one has all these 1-0. Either way, we'd be worried about these injuries, but given the circumstances we're in now, it just feels way more dramatic.
I agree with you on that. They've played well this year, and it's kind of weird, Jimmy. When Donovan has been out, when Darius has been out, I get all that. I don't know if you can pull that off in a playoff series and win the playoff series. So if you're missing Darius tonight, that's a problem. You know, and we all like Ty Jerome, but you want more good guys, and so that's a problem tonight. Why is Mobley a bigger concern for you?
because the biggest problem in game one was defense, and he's the linchpin to the defense. Jared Allen did not have a good time hanging out on the island guarding Tyrese Halliburton. And, you know, Evan Mobley is not going to be perfect in that regard either, but he's defensive player of the year, and you just had one of your most, by far your worst defensive performance of the playoffs. He's also in this series, I think, a pretty important offensive piece because, you know, even if Darius comes back or whenever he does come back, we're not exactly sure what he's going to look like. And the toe injury's clearly been bothering him enough to miss 3 playoff games. He's going to be out of rhythm. He hasn't played in almost 2 weeks now. And Evan Mobley, frankly, has some of the most favorable matchups on the court. Like when Miles Turner isn't out there, the Pacers' backup centers are wings. Pascal Siakam and Obi Toppin. We saw a little bit of Thomas Bryant. To put it kindly, Thomas Bryant isn't known for his defense. So he's going to have, I thought there were a lot more. I mean, he obviously turned his ankle in the fourth quarter, but throughout that game, I thought there were more opportunities. I thought he had it going, but there are more opportunities to get him the ball. We keep saying Evan Mobley is the key to the Cavs championship ceiling. So you want to see him healthy, and when he's out there, I'd like to see him getting the ball a little bit more.
I was just going to mention that. He doesn't get a whole lot of shots. I believe what I looked up, one time he's had more than 15 shots in a playoff game. And when he did, he had 33 against Boston last year. Is that on Evan? Is it on Kenny Atkinson? Is that on his teammates? Who's it on? I lean coaching, Jimmy. How about you? Just you tell me.
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, all of the above.
I think Kenny has made a concerted effort to get Evan touches, particularly early in these games. He's always touching the ball early in these games, and he gets a rhythm. But then I think the Cavs, particularly in game one, Donovan felt like, I need to do more. Ty Jerome felt like, I need to do more without Darius Garland. I think there's some credence to that, but everything in moderation, right? Like Donovan is always telling us, Evan Mobley is the most important player on this team. This is the guy that when he was asked before this series, what gives you confidence that this team is going to be different than some of the other playoff teams you're going to be on? Evan Mobley. Well, okay, then maybe take 3 or 4 of your 30 game one shots and give those to him. Like that's part of it. You know, practice what you preach a little bit. And then with Evan, we all know he's not a naturally assertive personality. The Cavs had to kickstart his defensive player of the year campaign for him. Whenever there'll be times when Evan's talking in the locker room and Donovan Mitchell will walk past the media scrum and just sort of cup his ear and almost as if like to say, hey man, speak up. Like they're trying to inject confidence in him every way they can. And Evan Mobley, You're an all-star. You're going to make an all-NBA team. You need to take ownership over this offense too. Like, call for the ball. If you're taking it up, just do something with it. It's not as, you know, big men can be a little bit dependent on the guards to make stuff happen for them. Evan Mobley is not your typical big man. Evan Mobley can make stuff happen off the dribble. So he's the kind of player that doesn't necessarily need a play call for him to be able to score. He has ownership in that too. So like I said, I think it's a little bit of everything.
What did you make of Kenny Atkinson talking about the physical play? And I and Jeff and I were talking about how he was gingerly able to speak about the referees without being able to speak about the referees yesterday, saying I either need a rule interpretation or just missed the call. I thought the way he worded it was perfect.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not I don't really know that this stuff works all the time. I'm not a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. In the case of DeAndre Hunter, I see why you would do that. I mean, he really did get clocked.
Yeah.
On that play, it caused an injury that should have been something. I get that. That's worth complaining about. The confusing thing to me is to lump the Evan Mobley coming down on Miles Turner's foot play with that one, because you mm-hmm. watch that one back. It was like about just over 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they're bumping and and pushing down there, but that's kind of post defense. And then Evan shoots a turnaround, and Miles Turner is looking at the rim by the time Mobley comes down on his foot. Like, I mean, if you want to say, like, the NBA is pretty precious sometimes about giving shooters space to land.
Yeah.
But that to me is just an incident. It's completely, those two things are completely not like the other to me. And I thought it was strange to lump them together. I also just like the Cavs physicality conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think this helps that narrative. It doesn't help the picture that people have in their heads. Now, maybe the Cavs shouldn't care about that. It's more important to try to influence the refereeing and alert them to, hey, the Pacers were getting a little bit too overzealous in that game. But again, I don't know that works. And it doesn't come off great to me.
Jimmy Watkins joining us, columnist for the Plain Dealer. I love Indiana's outside guys, Jimmy. The four guys who can almost be interchangeable out on the wing. But I agree with you. I think Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can be a real force that Indiana would have a real tough time contending with. And if Evan's good to go tonight, I'm anxious to see if Kenny Atkinson makes an adjustment in that area and how he might pull that off. What would you do if you were Atkinson strategically heading into this thing?
Well, I think there's opportunities when you run some of these pick and rolls with Jared Allen and Donovan or Darius or Ty, one of these guys who can shoot, you know, pull up threes from distance as the ball. You're asking a lot of whoever the big man is guarding that screen, because I mean Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith are really good at staying attached to those guys, like going over those screens. But if you can get some space on those, then you're asking the big man to do a lot there, right? He has to account for this guy, whether it's Don, Darius, or Ty, who can pull up from anywhere. And the teams' defenses are usually a little bit more scared of three pointers than twos. But while you're doing that, Jared Allen or Evan Mobley is running behind you to the rim, and both of them are pretty good lob catchers. So you could try a little bit more of that. You could just more Evan Mobley in any regard I'm in favor of. Now, again, with the ankle, if he's playing tonight on that ankle, how much can he withstand? You would like to think if he's out there, you can do everything he normally does, get him some, let's call it Advil before the game. Maybe that helps him.
Call it Advil.
A little bit more. Let's call it Advil.
Numbing cream, something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Mother's milk, some of that.
Sure.
But I just think that I know we're talking about the big man. Another important part of Darius's return, I think, can just be the stabilizing presence that a point guard brings. Like, again, I get Donovan and Ty Jerome. I get they were trying to make up for Darius's absence, but they took over half the shots, 50 of 98 shots combined. It's hard for everyone else to catch rhythm when that's the case, and that's part of a point guard's job. Like Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers, he's not getting you 30 every night, but it's no coincidence that the Pacers are one of the deepest scoring teams in the league, and they have a really good point guard. They had six guys in double figures in game one, two more with 7 points. Halliburton had 13 assists. He has a really good finger on the pulse. Classic point guard stuff for when guys need touches and things of that nature. I think Darius has a little bit more of that too. So I think having him around, even if he's not his usual self, him as a playmaker, his ability to get those big men the ball will be helpful for that as well.
All right, Jimmy, I got about a minute left here. What do the Cavs need to do to win if they are injured, and does Kenny Atkinson have some magic in his hat?
You just need to close out on these three-pointers much harder. You need to guard the ball much better, and you need to score with Indiana. You need to sometimes you're in a player series like this, your best defense can be your offense, because Indiana thrives on running off these misses, and you can slow them down and make them play against a set defense if you score as well. That's probably not the point of emphasis that Kenny Atkinson is hitting after, I think they gave up over half their shots that they allowed were uncontested in game one, but you can help yourself out by scoring a lot.
Jimmy, thank you. We invite everyone to hop online to Cleveland.com to make sure they read your latest story. Are the Cavaliers in deeper trouble than we think versus the Pacers? Video along with that, too. So, Jimmy, thank you. And, of course, we'll read you every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Jimmy Watkins on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Somebody, I just want to go back on this because, you know, Fearless Leader is all over great video that we have in here, too.
Yeah.
And we had that fantastic conversation about the rookie, like we did that as breaking news, because there are people that are kind of into that, and we were kind of laughing about it. But there's always some knucklehead on social, oh, that's great radio. What are you talking about? Oh, you guys are talking about the rookie numbers. By the way, there was a rumor flying around. Again, it was a rumor that Dylan Gabriel had taken number two.
What?
I know. And we all kind of like, what? Again, horrible speculation that wasn't true. Because when it was all said and done, Sanders ended up with 12.
Isn't number two available, by the way?
Andre Carter has two.
Oh.
Is he going to sell it? Is he going to be around
hell
to wear
if I know.
Deion Sanders ends up with 12, which I think Jeff made a
Shadur. Give it time before it's Coach Prime, all right? You got to give it a little breathing room.
I thought for a second there I said Darnell Sanders, the former Warrensville Heights
there
guy.
There you go, yeah.
For the Browns and Ohio State. And so he'll wear number 12, but I thought you made a great point that he was going Carlton Fisk on us.
Yeah, baby.
If anyone 27
doesn't know, to 72.
Yeah, that's what Carlton, because he wanted to turn his life around. I think that's what it was. So Shadur is going to wear 12, and that is?
Don Cockcroft's number.
That is?
21 backwards.
There you go. I don't. That's the way I saw it.
Coach Prime, 21.
Judkins is going to wear 10. I don't know if I like that. It's too low for run. Is it too low for, like, I don't mind single-digit numbers for running
I'm
back?
Still not into the whole guys can wear different numbers from different spots. To me, I don't like the single digits on guys. Do you?
Other than a quarterback or a kicker.
Quarterback, kicker. It used to be back in the day, even single digits.
Wide receiver?
I don't care for it.
I don't care on the wide receiver. It doesn't bother me with the wide receiver.
You remember when wide receivers always had to wear something in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that long ago. And now they can wear 80s and single digits and teens. Can they wear stuff in the 20s?
I think you can wear anything now, can't you?
No, I think there are still some limited restrictions on it.
Schlesinger getting 49. Like, I don't like 49 as a linebacker number either.
Makes you look like a running back.
Really doing this?
Yeah, I think.
Is this really happening?
50 and higher, like, man. 50 and higher.
This is really taking place.
Yes, you asked for it.
I asked for nothing.
Yes, no, you got nothing, and you'll like it.
I wish I had nothing.
Yes.
I'll take the sound of silence over, well, you know, that number doesn't seem perfectly correct for what we're doing here today.
Okay, Beaker. You have to get back to the Muppet set over there. Graham 94 makes sense.
I don't know if I like my running backs in the 10s.
I don't like a running back in 10.
Yeah, what's a big...
They could wear a smiley face emoji. I don't care. Move the ball forward.
The game, but listen, the game is hard enough to understand for people that don't get it. Why make it even more complicated?
Bingo.
That's what I don't understand.
Andy Baskin, for the common man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the number. The number is the reason things are complicated in football. You're right. That's the solution. If we went back to numbers, everyone would understand this.
Do you think it doesn't confuse referees for a legal man downfield? Is it not easier for a referee to figure it out by the number? It's way easier.
Ooh, I don't know. Let's see.
Why make the game more complicated?
Is 33 allowed to be past the line of scrimmage?
By the way, I just noticed your t-shirt, Dano. I like it.
I love the fact that you have to scratch your beard while you're saying these things. So which rookie number is your favorite, then? You didn't tell me.
I like Shadur in 12.
It does look okay.
Yeah. I mean, that remember
when... I'm going to tell you, Harold Fan in 88 12... makes sense, and Graham in 94 makes sense, too. Okay.
We got a Cavaliers about to have everybody injured in game two. I got a Guardians team playing a doubleheader.
Why are you yelling?
And we're over here going,
Why are you yelling?
Because he cut himself when he scratched his beard.
Probably.
Yeah. 94, wow. That bleeding. Checks out. I like it when numbers check out.
I love the fact that it drove somebody crazy. on social media because they had nothing else to do. Oh, I can't believe they're talking about numbers on the air. Whoa.
Yet they were listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for tuning in to Really Bad Radio, 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092.
There's a promo that won't happen.
No. By the way, sidebar. Jen and Tim have mugs that they give away on their morning show.
We've been looking for giveaways for our show for 14 years.
Andy. Air. We've given away air for 14 years.
You know what
14,
we get to give away?
I met again. How about hopping on that, making that happen for us?
I'm trying to build you a Hall of Fame, damn it.
Yeah, that is true. I give you credit for that. In Hinkley, right?
In Hinkley.
Yeah, in a
next
nest.
Next to the buzzards.
In a buzzard's nest. That's where it's going to be.
Right it is. Yeah, we'll keep it safe.
There's a great little putt-putt course down in the park.
Yeah.
We could put it right there.
Next to the
putt-putt course? They have great custard.
Do they?
Yes.
The big question is on 18, do you get the ball back or does it go into the big tub?
It goes into the big tub.
See, I always found that, you know, I was always excited.
But they give you water balloons that you can shoot at targets afterwards.
What? What?
Move along.
All right. Well, now I've got to find
anybody
this
in Hinkley knows what I'm talking about.
We had a chance to talk to Jimmy Watkins, Cleveland.com.
By the way, I like Jimmy. Jimmy's.
I like his writing.
Yeah. Jimmy likes Elaine and we like his writing. Jimmy's an outstanding columnist for the Plain Dealer. Plain Dealers, they're fortunate. They have some really good writers.
You mean people that have experience rather than people that sit in their basement and make up stories? That experience thing wins all the time. It is insane how that works. What'd you get out of our Watkins conversation?
I agree with Jimmy. You know, and you and I both know. I've thought, and I've said it since he got drafted, Evan Mobley's development is the key to this team. And Jimmy said Donovan Mitchell says the same thing, and Jimmy says the same thing, and we all believe the same thing. And I will readily agree. Part of it's on Evan. You know, he's got to develop a little bit more aggressiveness. Another part of it is they need to get him the basketball and get it to him in more opportunities where he can go ahead and do something with it other than move it along. Or, you know, just because you touch it doesn't mean you get the ball and an opportunity to shoot it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, and Jimmy was right, Ty Jerome took 20 shots and Donovan Mitchell took 30. That's 50 shots. How about if each of you kick four of those shots to Evan and make sure he gets a better touch? Well, then all of a sudden, Evan takes 21 shots in the game. Thank you. That's plenty. That's great. In looking at a couple of things about what Evan has done in the postseason, and I think it's important to do that. I just think that he needs to be a little more aggressive. They need to get him the ball. Historically in the playoffs, Andy, it just hasn't worked. He's played in 22 playoff games. Okay?
Okay.
And he's the guy that I would love to see step up. He has had 20 or more points in just four of those playoff games. So, and now, you know, he's not averaging 20 points a game, but he's only had four 20-point or more games in 22 playoff games. And only once, I mentioned this earlier in the show, only once has he taken more than 15 shots in a playoff game. And it was the game where he had 33 against Boston when he was 15 of 24. See, that's the thing. He makes his shots. He was 9 of 13 in game one. If somebody's 9 of 13 and somebody else
is, he needs either shoot more or get him the ball more. And they got him the ball. That's the thing. I mean, you know, even in talking to Jimmy, that the game plan, it seemed like early on, was get him touches. He did take high efficiency. I don't know. I like the way – I mean, if you want to look at one thing that he's totally improved on from year to year and go back to the playoffs last year compared to where – his ability to drive through the paint and get the ball into the hoop.
Yeah, like, he handles the ball better. You know,
yeah.
And his outside shot is better.
And that's a strength thing too,
but
right?
Keep this in mind.
He's got to feel stronger going to the hole.
Yeah, I would think. Keep this in mind, though. What he's doing now is kind of typical of what he's done his entire career. Not once in a season has he taken more than 12.8 field goals per game. Isn't that kind of hard to believe? A guy who we think can be a really big scoring threat has not even averaged 13 shots a game for a season. And this postseason, he's averaging 11 field goal attempts per game. Didn't need to against Miami. I think you're going to need to take more than 11 shots per game moving forward in this series. And it was 13 in game one. Can I throw one other thought at you?
Yeah, go ahead. You got a minute?
Jared Allen is the same type of deal. He averages 12.2 points a game in playoff games. And in 23 career playoff games, he has had just three games of 20 or more points. I know Jarrett's main role isn't to score. We all know that. It's to play defense. It's to rebound the basketball. But he hasn't taken more than 11 shots in any playoff game he's ever played in. That includes nine with Brooklyn. So you've got a big guy who can score in Jared Allen, has never taken more than 11 shots in a playoff game. And you have another big guy who can score and has taken more than 15 shots in a playoff game just once. Get him the ball. Get him the ball. If that doesn't work, then go ahead and let Donovan jack up 30 again.
Yeah. Which he
did
the other
day. Two guys were 15 of 20 in game one, Andy. I don't care if those are two or threes. 15 of 20 is pretty dang good.
I know.
Easy buckets.
The other part of this injury thing is you lose 31. I mean, the other night you got 31 points from Mobley and from Hunter. And if those guys can't play tonight, now I wonder what things are going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up. Daryl Ryder was just at Cavs practice. They're winding down before shoot around. So we're going to talk to him next, or after shoot around, I should say. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are we?
Good. How long did you have to wait for the Cavaliers to talk today? They're good at making us wait.
We were on Cavs standard time.
But, that's like an hour and a half late every time?
we did hear from Donovan Mitchell, and we also heard from Kenny Atkinson. No injury news from Atkinson. His availability was really focused on him winning Coach of the Year.
So he didn't talk once about injuries?
No, that's going to happen this evening. He's going to talk at 5:15.
Ah, lock it in, afternoon drive.
And so we should hopefully have some news there. I will tell you, no Evan Mobley, no Darius Garland, no DeAndre Hunter at shoot-around. I did see for a split second, I thought I saw Garland on a treadmill, but... it doesn't sound great for the Cavaliers right now on the injury front.
On all three, you think?
If I had to rank them, I would say I'm most optimistic about Darius.
Okay.
I would probably go DeAndre second, just because, I don't know, maybe they taped the thumb back together.
That's possible.
To hold it in place. Sure. The thumb's on his shooting hand. That's kind of a problem. I would probably go Mobley third. He was hobbling around pretty good after that game. And even if you just watched, you know, that fourth quarter, you could tell he wasn't right. So that's how I would rank my positivity or optimism about their potential availability tonight.
Let's forget about that for a minute, because
I can't, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
That's three of the top six guys on the roster. If they can't play, it's a big problem.
Except for one thing, D. If they can't play, the Cavs still need to win this basketball game.
Well, yeah.
How do they do it with or without these guys?
Well, I think that they do need to send a message tonight, a very physical message.
I'm sorry, Michael Cage doesn't play for the team anymore.
Yeah, but Tristan Thompson does.
Tristan sits for the team.
You might see him tonight.
Okay.
He can jump in front of Tyrese Halliburton and drop him on the floor in a hurry. Why not? You do it cleanly. Block a good hard blocking foul. I mean, hey, the Pacers are shoving guys to the ground midair. So you got to send a message. I thought Jared Allen made a good point yesterday. It's up to them to set the line. You know, what's crossing the line? And I will agree with Atkinson. I think the NBA did a very poor job in that first game. Jared Allen got hit in the chest pretty significantly. That caused him to hit the floor real hard. And then DeAndre Hunter, if you go back and you watch that play, there is a forearm to DeAndre Hunter's chest before the block, and then he ends up dislocating the thumb. So I have no problem with a good hard blocking foul or two tonight for the Cavaliers to kind of send a message, hey, not going to do it. you're going to think twice if you're going to be shoving guys midair. I kind of felt like Kenny yesterday was trying to not criticize the officials, but criticize the officials. And then also say that the Indiana Pacers played dirty without saying the Indiana Pacers played dirty. You know what I mean? Like he was trying to walk that line yesterday when he spoke about it.
The only problem with all that, D?
Yeah.
Cavs aren't built that way.
I know, but I mean, look, here we are going into game two of the conference semifinals, and what are we talking about again? Physicality, right? Yeah. It's the same thing we talked about last year during the playoffs. It's the same thing we talked about the year before.
That's the thing. If it takes them out of what they are as a team,
right,
that might not be good. That's why I think tonight's a fascinating game, Daryl. I really do.
Well, it's I don't know if fascinating is the word that I would use, but you're right. I mean, they need to win this tonight. You don't want to go to Indiana down 0-2 with guys beat up. I mean, look, Donovan Mitchell's not 100% either.
No.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, he looked like he got beat up in the second half.
Well, and it showed. He was 1 for 11, and if you go back and you look some of the shots in that second half, you know, I'm not a basketball coaching expert here, but like I kind of feel like his legs weren't fully under him. Like, you know, a couple of those shots kind of felt short and off as he was letting him go.
And remember, Daryl, he's been dealing with stuff too.
Yeah. You know. So, I mean, this game doesn't fascinate me. I'm nervous about this game tonight. I'm nervous about who's going to be available for them and whether or not they're going to be able to win a playoff game against the team that already took one from you by running up and down the floor. I will say this. I don't anticipate that Indiana's going to shoot 53% from three-point land, and I also don't anticipate that the Cavaliers are going to shoot below 24% from three-point land, because that really was the difference in game one. And I realize it's easy for me to say, but if three more shots from downtown go in, they play overtime. If four go in, they win the basketball game, right? And that's still a terrible shooting night at 13 for 38. So 13 for 38 wins them the basketball game in game one. So they got to shoot better from deep.
All right, let's play a little scenario basketball here, right? Let's say that Garland's in and Hunter and Mobley are out.
Yeah.
All right, correct it for me. What does Kenny do?
Well, I think that I think you're going to see some more minutes from Isaac Okoro tonight. He got around 15 minutes, I think, in game one. I would think another 5 to 10 minutes of floor time are in store for him tonight. Dean Wade was about the same as far as a playing time goes. I would anticipate you're going to see some of him tonight. I could see Tristan Thompson being in the rotation tonight as well.
Let me just go back to something you said earlier. Can you see them using Tristan because he's got six fouls and to keep it to kind of...
be the enforcer?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, when I'm talking about being, I'm not talking about doing dirty stuff here. I'm just talking about, contesting layups and, good hard fouls,
fouls
on screens.
Physical basketball.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Like, Indiana did it.
Yeah.
Why can't the Cavaliers? So, and I'm not saying you throw Tristan out there to be, a six foul guy, because he can get rebounds for you, he can get you extra possessions. That's valuable in the playoffs. And look, again, I'm not anticipating that the Pacers are going to shoot what they shot in game one tonight. That's for sure.
I think it's interesting, and I'm curious to see what happens tonight. I just wonder, do they disperse shots even if guys are injured? Or do you think, Daryl, that this is a situation where, hey, Donovan, you're the guy? You've got the contract. We made the big trade to get you. You've got to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what you expect from Sam Merrill, right? I mean, same thing with Strus.
They can get hot.
I know. I was just about to say that. Both of those guys can be very streaky shooters. When they're hot, they're scorching, right?
They're unbelievable, really.
The problem is the guy you turn to, Evan Mobley, probably not available tonight, right? Garland, even if he plays, is not going to be anywhere near 100% in my estimation there, right? DeAndre Hunter off the bat may not be available for you. So you're turning, Ty Jerome, right? I anticipate that he had like 21, I think, in game one. You're hoping for similar scoring output from him, right? He can put up starter scoring for you coming off the bench. But again, you're going to need, Dean Wade, and you're going to need Isaac Okoro to give you something offensively. And look, Isaac Okoro is capable of making a couple of shots from the perimeter, but there's a reason they leave him open on the perimeter, right? So, it's going to be, if all three of those guys are out, it's going to be an uphill climb. If Darius is able to play, it's still going to be an uphill climb, right? This is going to be a tough one tonight, and it's going to take a gritty performance from the Cavaliers, which they're capable of doing it.
Sure,
but that's what it's going to have to be a gritty win for them tonight if they're going to even this series up.
All right, so what's your prediction? Do they even the series up?
How many of those three guys play?
Let's say if all three play.
All three are not playing.
I'm going to go through the scenarios for you. Go.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
This is why you need to watch or listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If all three guys are out,
yes,
the Pacers win.
Okay.
And go up 2-0.
Darius
plays tonight,
okay,
I will say the Cavaliers tie the series up.
Ooh. Okay.
You ready?
Because I don't think DeAndre's going to play, and I don't think Evan Mobley's going to play. That's my opinion. I want to stress that. That's my opinion. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think if any of the injured guys can play, Cavs win. If they're all out, I do think that the Pacers head home up 2-0.
All right. Daryl, stay healthy. We need you to cover the game tonight, obviously.
I am probable tonight. I have not pulled any muscles yet. Give me a couple hours. I'm going to mow the lawn this afternoon, injury is very possible between now and game time.
No, and then you're not going to wear shorts because otherwise we'll all get injured, right?
No.
All right, I just want to make sure.
It's a little too cold for shorts, right?
All right, well, I'm just looking out for what's best for Northeast Ohio. Thank you, Daryl.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, right.
He is Daryl Ryder. And, of course, he covered the game and he covers the Browns. He does a great job, fantastic job. Make sure you check out all his stuff.